to be back at Journey Church, man. I love being here. I hear Bill. Whoop, whoop. But it sounded like him anyway. But here's the thing is I like to go visit other churches and see how God is working and what he's doing at other places. But I love being with my faith family. I love seeing our family expanding. I love seeing those following Christ in believers' baptism here. You know, it's kind of like with a lot of times we like to see things happen to other people. And we're excited about that. But when it's your family, it's different. And today we've been able to see about five or six people go through the waters of baptism and go public with their faith and go public with the decision that they've made to put their faith in Christ for salvation. And they want everybody to know it. So I love being a part of that. It is awesome to just see the excitement in their faces and to see them take those steps of obedience are huge. And so I love being here and being a part of Journey Church. And so thank you guys for being here today. We're continuing our series called Peeled. And Peeled is talking about the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And today we're talking about patience. And wouldn't you know it, nearly everything that could go wrong has gone wrong today. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way it works, isn't it? Anything that could mess up, go wrong. Like there's a light over there blinking right now. I don't know what's going on. What's happening? You know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a tough deal, tough call. And let me just say this. I was sitting there thinking, you know, we've had all these guest speakers, you know, and I'm thinking, why couldn't they have taught on patience? Because I'm not sure that I have a great abundance of that fruit in my life. And that's not a cop-out. I'm just saying it's one of those things that God is still working in me and still changing me. But there's one of those things where you just sit there and you go, you know, God, you know, couldn't somebody else have taught on that? Because love's pretty easy to teach on. Joy, peace, you know, I'm kind of thinking, why couldn't somebody else have done patience? So anyway, but that's where I am today. So obviously God said, you know, Mike, you need to work on this fruit. So we're going to look at patience today. And I know a lot of times we talk about how patience is a virtue, but it's more than that. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the work of God in our life. And we're going to take a look at that. So if you've got your outline, take it out. You can kind of follow along. But last week, I had a leak in our house. You know, we had a faucet that just kept running. And I was thinking, man, that's going to be a $400 water bill if we don't get it fixed. Because you couldn't stop it. You couldn't turn it off. And it was a shower, so it had to be replaced. And so I called this guy and said, hey, listen, have you got the guy's number for the plumber or whatever? And this is a friend of mine. And he texts. And anyway, so a day goes by. I hadn't heard back from him. So I sent one of those little, you know, pictures or whatever, the big bird waving, like, hello, can you hear me? You know, and did you get the text? I mean, what's going on? And then he comes back. Patience is a virtue. You know, you just want to go through the phone and just slap them. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, I said, I agree. But, you know, and I wanted to really say it is a fruit of the Spirit. It's what I really wanted to say. It's the work of God. And I want to say, is God not working in your life or something like that? But anyway, so here's the thing. So finally he sends it and he says, I try not to do business on the weekend. I only do it Monday through Friday so that, you know, I can keep my sanity or whatever. And I'm sitting there thinking, dude, I'm a friend asking you for a number. You can't give me that number. You know, so then I started losing my patience with him. You know, does that make sense? I mean, y'all ever wrestle with stuff like that? But let's look at this statement. It says, patience is a virtue. The ability to wait for something without getting angry or upset is a valuable quality in a person. So let me just say this. Virtue, yeah, I mean, we'd all say, you know, that's a great quality. You know, and you would want that. And most of us, here's the thing, most of us want that quality in everybody else, right? We want them to be able to wait, but we don't want to wait. We want them to be patient, but we don't necessarily want to be patient. So here's the thing. We think it's a great virtue, a great quality in your life, in your life, in your life, but not, you know, I don't necessarily want that. I remember a buddy of mine in college, his name was Ross Higgins, he used to always say, man, don't ever pray for patience. God will put you through hell. And I'm like, dude, you know, I mean, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the working of God in your life. And so a lot of us don't want to be more patient. We don't want to grow in that area. We don't want that to be cultivated or developed in our life. You know, we like being able to kind of get aggravated when things don't go our way. We like that a little bit. And that's a little bit messed up, I'm just telling you. Because we're supposed to be changing and shaping and being molded into the image of Christ. For every one of us in this room that we have put our faith in Christ for salvation, we have become a child of God. We have become a born-again believer. And so what I love about this morning, here we are, we have people going through the waters of baptism. They're going public with that. They're saying, hey, listen, I want everybody to know, I realized I was broken. I realized I was sinful. I realized I needed a Savior. And so I have, by faith, put my faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And so I've asked Christ to come and live within me. And so Jesus lives within them. He dwells within them. And so what they're doing is they're going public with that. They're going public with that today. They're letting everybody in this room know. And they've even invited people to be here to celebrate that moment with them. It's a celebration. And so the exciting thing about that is they're going public. They want everybody to know. Now here's the thing. That's the beginning. And the process of sanctification and being changed and transformed is this fruit being produced. It's the work of the Holy Spirit making us and shaping us more and more like Christ. And so here we have this gift, this fruit, if you would, called patience that some of us don't want. And we're saying, you know, God, I don't want what you have for me. But let me just say this. What God has for you is always the best. Let me say that again. What God has for you is always the best. He is a loving Father who cares about me. He cares about the details of my life. He cares about you, and He cares about how you think. He cares about how you look at people, how you treat people, whether or not you serve them, whether or not you like them, whether or not you love them. And so the thing is God cares about how I deal with people and how patient I am with them. And so I think today we're going to see a couple of different things about patience that maybe you weren't necessarily familiar with, but here's the thing is, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, patience is one of the things that should be developed in me. So let's look at this passage. We've been reading and kind of stepping out from here over the last couple of weeks. It says, living by the Spirit's power, out of Galatians. And let me just say this, Galatians is talking, you know, most of Galatians is kind of Paul saying, hey, listen, you know, I don't know what's going on with some of you guys, but you kind of missed it. It's about the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not about following the rules and regulations. It's not about kind of lining up with the law of Moses. That is not where you get salvation. He says, let me be clear. That reveals that you cannot do it on your own. The law reveals to us and shows us that we're not good enough. We never qualify if it's just based on me following the letter of the law. And he's saying it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It is the gospel of grace at work in you. He's saying it is the power of God working in you to change you, to transform you, and to shape you and mold you into the image of Christ. And so he's spending a good bit of this book talking about, hey, listen, who told you, who brought in this false teaching that you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this in order to be saved? Who is adding to the gospel? He is challenging them. And then he gets to this point, he's saying, hey, listen, it's about living by the Spirit's power. It's not by following the letter of the law. It's by letting the power of God, you know, work in you, change you, transform you. Let's look at it. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, listen to this, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And what Paul is saying there, he's saying, listen, man, we have crucified these sinful pleasures, these sinful cravings, these sinful desires. They have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but it is Christ who lives in me, who lives through me, who is changing me, who is empowering me. And so for those of us in this room that we claim to know Christ, but yet we continue to live really like the world says, and we live like hellions, we live like pagans, whatever you want to call it, and we're living a life that does not reflect Christ, Paul says you might want to do some heart examination. You might want to make sure that you're a child of the King. See, we're all born as a creation of God. Psalms 139 makes that very clear. We are created, we are knit together in the mother's womb. But the Bible says that when we choose to accept Christ, that we are adopted into His family, and we are literally adopted in, and we become part of the family. We become part of the family of God. We become children of God. And the evidence of that is how the fruits are being born in our life and how we are becoming more and more like Christ. And so whenever we read that, you know, some people say, well, that sounds like works that Paul's talking about. No, Paul is saying there's evidence that you have been saved. It's not that you can continue to live however you want to and just say, man, I'm just going to say I'm saved by grace and I can live however I want to. He's saying, listen, if you continue to live that corrupt life, it's probably pretty good chance that you were never truly saved and part of the family anyway. And so again, I've already said this earlier, patience is more than a virtue. Patience is more than a virtue. Look at this. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, the actual working of God in my life. So for us to not want patience is to say, I don't want God working in my life. To say that I don't want to learn about patience is to almost kind of give God the hand and say, God, I don't want patience. But He knows what is best for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us the very best that we have. And here's the thing. I sometimes think of God as, number one, He is the Almighty. He is the all-powerful. He is the all-knowing God. I get that. But there's times I feel like that He sometimes is in a like a coach in my ear going, you can do better than this. I have given you the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit working in you. You can do more than what you're doing. You need to step up. Come on, you need to dig deep and do a little bit more. And it's not that He's belittling me. He's trying to get the best out of me. And I think sometimes good coaches do that. They get the best out of us. And they say, listen, you can do more. You can make a difference. You got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in me is what He says. And so the thing is I feel like that God is coaching us at times. And He's saying, listen, you have got to step it up. And it's not that He's badgering us or beating us up. He just knows, you know what, there's better within us. And for some of us in this room, patience is the better us. For us to be more patient, to be more understanding. Look at this passage here out of 1 Thessalonians. Again, writing to the church there in Thessalonica, he says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Don't be lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. And be patient with everyone. So here we see where Paul is writing to the church again. He said, hey, listen, man, be patient with everyone. And there's some people that, man, they try your patience. I mean, we know how that is. There's some people that it just takes all you can do, it seems like. But Paul is saying, hey, listen, be patient with everyone. And the section right above that, he's talking about, hey, be patient and respectful of those who are teaching. I didn't read that part to you. Most pastors probably read that to you a good bit. But it says to honor those who teach you the Word of God. You know, respect them. But here's saying, listen, the more that you learn about God, man, you know, here's the thing is, you want to be patient with people. And most of us know, you know, it's easy to be patient as long as things are going your way, right? That's easy. You go in and it's everything's going your way, everything's clicking along, it's easy to be patient. And you can even tell everybody, man, you know, God, my patience has really grown. Until, you know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, you know, or you've been in this long line, you know, I-65 here lately seems like there's always a backup. And so you've been in this long line and you see somebody go past you and then they get in ahead of you and you're like, what? You know, dude, they knew that line was closing because there's an arrow over there going over, you know, and you're getting aggravated, and so all of a sudden your patience is worn thin, right? Or maybe you go to a restaurant and you go in and you sit down, and maybe it takes a while, and then you finally get in, you sit down, and you order your food, and then you see a couple of other families come in, and they sit down, they order food, and they get their food before you. And your Christian witness begins to go downhill, you know, and you begin to struggle with, you know, patience, self-control, you know, you done got hangry, you know, whatever. And so we know what that's like, you know, or something like that happens, or you're waiting on someone and, you know, and they say, hey, I'll be there at such and such time, and they don't show up. And then, you're getting there and you're thinking about all that you could be doing or all that you should be doing, whatever, and you get angry, you get frustrated, right? And I'm saying that because that's me, that's what I've done. I'm just saying I have experienced all those things. But I think for some of us, we go, you know what? You know, how do I overcome that? How do I get to the point of where I'm not so angry when things don't go my way? You know, and I think it goes back to, let's become a little bit more like Christ. Let's become a little bit more like Christ. And so here, you know, Paul is saying in multiple places, hey, listen, be patient. Be patient. And let's look at this passage here. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Romans 8:28. We've got to remember that. So let me just say this. Patience is not inaction. Patience is not inaction. I think some of you have this mentality that, you know, patience is me just sitting here and letting things go by, letting things happen, not getting up and saying anything, not addressing issues. But patience is just sitting there. Now, I got news for you. That's not what the Bible teaches about patience. But for some of you, that's your mentality. Patience is just letting things happen. I'm just letting things go. That's passivity. That's you being passive. You're just letting things go. Here's the thing. It may be because you don't want to take responsibility for some things. It may be because you just think, well, if I just wait, it'll go away. If I just don't say anything, it'll quit happening. And that's not patience. I want you guys to understand that is not patience. That's not what the Bible teaches. So patience is not an action. Patience is not being willing to take steps or move forward. That's not what that means. You know, it may be, you know, that you have to say, you know what, I gotta understand what patience is, because I thought you just had to sit there and, you know, I'll just kind of chill out, you know, and I'll let whatever happen. That's not it. So patience is not an action. Let's read this passage here with me out of Hebrews chapter 12. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down or entangles us, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance. And that same word, endurance, there in the Greek translates patience. You know, so it says run. So let us run with patience or endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, fixed on the finish line, if you will. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. And so what that passage is saying is, hey, let's draw from the people around us that have either gone before us, you know, and this incredible, you know, just group of people that have endured, and we watch them persevere, and we watch them grow in their faith. I mean, he's talking about some of the heroes of the faith, but he's also talking about Christ who went to the cross for you and for me. He said, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us stay focused on what matters. Let us stay focused on Jesus Christ. Let us make sure that we're not giving up, and we're not just sitting around, we're being passive. We're just kind of letting whatever happen. But he said, hey, listen, it's like running a race. You know, get fixed on the finish line. And maybe you have to be patient about when you make your move. And so oftentimes what we do is we just barrel out there. A couple of years ago, my middle son Zach was invited to be on the track team at a school he was going to. And anyway, so he goes to his first track meet, and he had only ran like with the baseball team around the baseball field or whatever. And so he goes to this track meet, and he gets there, and he's running the long distance stuff. And anyway, he ended up qualifying for state, and we were shocked by that. And so I asked him, I said, do you know anything about, you know, how to pace yourself? You know anything? You know, have you had any coaching? He's like, no, sir, I just got there and ran. I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, well, you might want to sit down with a coach and ask, hey, you know, how do I, you know, pace myself? You know, what do I need to do? Because whenever they would say, boom, go, he's gone. You know, and he's tall and lanky, and it was like a bunch of little short guys like this. And so he looks like a giant running with them. And so we get to state, and he's running in the state tournament, and he still has the same mentality. I mean, I'm just going to run. But you could watch some of these other guys who were pacing themselves, and they were kind of tracking him because he was way out front, and they were kind of tracking him. And you could tell they had a plan, they had a strategy that they were going to pace themselves to that last lap, and then they would have something left in the tank. And so what happens, I think, sometimes is we are that way. We just go out and we go gangbusters. Now, a sprint is easy because you got a finish line, you're running straight 100 meters, and you're there. But with running long distance, you have a little bit of a strategy. And you got to think about the endurance. Hey, how do I get to the end of the race and finish strong? And so patience is not just, hey, I'm just sitting around waiting. But you're in a race. You're challenging your body. You're pushing yourself to be the best that you can be so that you can finish strong. And so I think a lot of times, you know, we get this passive mentality and we just sit back and we claim that we've got the fruit of the Spirit going because we just let anything go on. And I'm just telling you, that's not biblical. We let our kids do whatever they want to do. And you think, well, I'm just being patient with them. No, you're being passive with them. You're just letting them rule the roost. You're letting them do whatever they want to do. It's like with salvation. I think about this so many times. I hear people say, well, I don't want to push, you know, them to make a decision for Christ. You ought to. I don't know if you realize what the destinations are. There's one called heaven, there's one called hell. You ought to do everything you can to convince them to accept Christ. That's what Paul said. And we said, well, you know, I want it to be their decision. It is their decision. They either accept Him or they reject Him, one of the two. I love the fact that in the first service we had three young boys that went to camp. And they made decisions to accept Christ. And I have parents ask me sometimes, hey, you think a lot of kids send my kid to camp? I'm like, yeah. You know, I don't know if you realize, but they teach the gospel there. They put it in age-appropriate settings and formats. And they help these kids understand what the Bible means, that God wants a relationship with them. Some of the parents say, well, you know, I want to send my kids to children's ministry, but, you know, they like to be with me. And I'm like, why don't you put them in age-appropriate teaching where they might hear the gospel in a way that they would go, you know what, I want Christ in me. I want to be born again. I want to be redeemed. I want to be changed. I want to live my life for Him. I want to honor Him with my life. This morning, I thought it was one of the coolest things. We were in here. We were praying with our praise team and our production team. And one of the guys said, it was Trent who plays the keyboards. He said, you know, my sister is on a plane coming home. That's a praise. She's been in North Africa in some areas that serving as a missionary. And I'm looking forward to hearing about what God has done there and the relationship she's built. And I told everybody, I said, you know, I don't know if you realize, but she's been in a hostile area to the gospel. So she's been serving as a missionary where it literally could cost her life. So here she is, she's coming back. So they're celebrating the fact that she has been on mission, sharing the gospel of peace in a place that doesn't have a whole lot of peace. I had a friend of mine saw where he posted this past week that he and his wife, they're serving in India with another couple, and he was talking about the persecutions that take place there. That if you're a Christian, they'll come in and they'll burn your houses down. They'll pull you out in the street and they'll beat you and at times murder you. And he was talking about what he had seen, not what he had heard. And so the thing is, you know, we got to understand, you know, are they being patient and working around, you know, what is in place in some of these areas? Absolutely. But they're sharing the gospel of Christ. And so moms and dads, I would just say, you know, hey, get your kids in those environments where they're going to hear the gospel of peace. Get them where they're going to learn, hey, you know what, they have responsibility. And your job at home, I love seeing Todd baptize his son up here. I love seeing a dad who literally lives out his faith in such a way that a few weeks ago we were talking about this, that the teachers were asking Miles, what does your dad do? He reads the Bible. He's not sitting around drinking beer. He's not, you know, he doesn't go to the races or whatever. But it's that my dad reads the Bible. What a great compliment for a dad. That his child says, this is what I see my dad doing. This is what I see him living his faith out. And so I think it's important for us to understand that we don't just let our kids do whatever. We lead them. We guide them. We launch them into life. And we do everything we can to help them be successful at what God has for them. And so patience is not inaction. Patience is evidence of a changed life. Patience is evidence of a changed life. Listen to what Paul says here. He's writing to the church again. This same good news that came to you is going all over the world, just like we were just talking about. This gospel is going all over the world. Think about how many places in the world today that the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached and proclaimed and shared by missionaries and pastors all over the globe right now. Think about that. And how many will respond by faith today? And so Paul is saying, hey, listen, man, this gospel of Jesus, this teaching is going everywhere. Next week, we've got a team that's going down to Brazil to help build a church. They'll help build literally a physical facility that will become a hub in that area. And people will come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And there will be people who will put their faith in Christ for salvation sitting inside that church out of the elements. And so he says, it's going all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere. Here's fruit again. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. You learned about the good news from this guy right here. I messed his name up earlier. I'm not going to say it again. Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. There's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And He's helping us on your behalf. And listen to this. He has told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. You don't just love people. That's the work of God at work in you. When you begin to love people and really care about people, that is the work of God. That is the work of the Holy Spirit working in you. Joy. Man, we don't just always have joy. We can be happy about things, but joy comes from God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so Paul is saying, listen, I've already heard about the love of God, or the love of people that God, the Holy Spirit, has put in you, has given you. It's fruit. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people, who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. See, the fruits of the Spirit are the evidence that we have been saved. The fruits of the Spirit are the evidence that God is at work in us. The fruits of the Spirit are a testimony to the world that we've been changed and we're still being changed. So let me ask you this. Has anybody said to you lately, man, I don't know, but man, there's something different about you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but man, there's something different about you. Has someone said lately, you know, I don't know what's going on, but man, you're just not the same person you used to be. And maybe it's in a good way. Maybe because they're wanting to still live that life of hell, you know, they don't like it. So maybe they see it as a negative, but you go, you know what? I am different. I don't know if you know, but man, I've accepted Christ. I have been purchased by His blood. I've been redeemed. I'm a child of the King. And I try to live my life in such a way that I offer hope to those who have no hope. So when was the last time someone said, man, I can't tell you, but there's something different about you? I was talking to a young man the other day. He was sharing with me that he prayed a prayer when he was 16 years old. He said, man, I prayed this prayer. He said, this guy talked to me about Jesus. He said, and I prayed this prayer. He said, and in my mind, it was my get out of hell free card. He said, you know what? You know, all right, I get it. That's my get out of hell free card. I can kind of continue to do what I'm doing. And he said, for the next 4 years, he continued to live just like the world. Man, he was doing the very things that the Bible teaches us not to do. It says, hey, this is not a man of God. And he said, and finally he got an email from his grandfather, who was his biggest fan. He said, was always in my corner. He said, I don't know what's going on with you. He said, but you've become an embarrassment and a disappointment. I don't even want to be around you. You either shape up or ship out. And he said it crushed him. He said, he still keeps that email to this day. He said, but it crushed him. He said that whole night, he began to ask God to change him. He said he began to look at his life and he realized he'd pushed everybody away, his family, his friends. He said nobody wanted anything to do with him because he was continuing to live a pattern like this first list up here. Claimed to be a Christian. I got saved when I was 16, but living like the world. And he said nobody, even the guy who loved him the most and supported him the most, didn't want anything to do with him. He said, and it crushed him. He said, and throughout that night, he said, man, I just battled with God. He said, and I realized something had to give. And so he did what the Scripture says up here. He says, I literally asked God to crucify this flesh, to literally nail those desires to the cross. He said, and over the next few weeks, people, the guys that he was in a fraternity with and guys that he went to school with began to say, man, there's something different about you. And other people began to notice there was a change taking place. He wasn't the same guy that he had always been. And so the thing is what happened was he took ownership of the fact that, you know what, he was a sinner. He was broken. He had some issues. And he confessed those to God, and he said, God, I want to nail them to the cross of Christ. Will you set me free? Will you help me? And God is using that young man. And God is changing that young man. And people around him begin to say, there's something different. So let me ask you again. Has anybody ever looked at you and said, there's something different about you? There's something about you that is just different. Man, I can see Jesus in you. Man, I know that you know where you're going. Tell me a little bit more about it. Tell me what God is doing. How do you have this peace that passes understanding? How are you so patient with people? And it's an opportunity for you and I to say, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in me. It's not me. I'm just a broken vessel. I'm just a needy person. But here's the thing. It is the power of God at work in me that allows me to even be different. It's not anything I bring to the table. It's not me following rules and guidelines and regulations. It is me submitting and surrendering to the power of the Holy Spirit who is at work in me, who is changing me and transforming me to become more and more like Christ. That is my desire. And that is my King. You have that opportunity. I have that opportunity. And so do we allow God to do that. And then this last part here, God blesses patience. God blesses patience. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. In this passage here, in the book of James, most of you guys have probably read some of James, and he's talking about trials and tribulations, and it says, count it all joy when you endure these trials and tribulations, because they lead to change. It is God at work in your life. And so that's in the first part of it. So let's drop down here. We'll pick up in verse 12. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempting us to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. I love that. And so think about that. God blesses patience. And so for us to say that, man, I don't want to grow in patience. I don't want to learn about being patient. I don't want to be mature in that area of my life. That is almost blasphemy. God blesses patience. It's saying, I don't want God in that area of my life. I want to stay the same. And too often, man, we just want to be that way. You know, we all struggle with patience, and we struggle with having to grow. But that's part of the blessing. That's part of it. It's the struggle. You know, God is drawing us in. He's pulling us in. He said, "Hey, listen, man, I want to change this area of your life." And it's good. Change is a good thing. I know some of us, you know, we get stuck in our ways, and we don't want to change anything. We want to stay the same. But there's something positive about change. Something has to give. I want to show you a quick video clip from it's a funny show. But here's a guy who struggled with patience. And hopefully this is not you guys.
Ooh, I don't know. That Irish cream sounds good, huh? What's that?
It's cream and it's Irish.
Hurry up and order!
Excuse me. Thank you.
How about a smoothie? What's in that?
Smoothie's a juice drink. We want coffee.
Buddy, relax.
No, you relax. I'm a regular here. This line needs to move.
I beg your pardon. Do you have scones?
Tall, non-fat, double latte.
Sir, you're at the back of the line.
I recognize that.
Cut it out or you're out of here.
You can't kick me out.
You know what? You're really invading my ear space.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card. Do you have a card? Do you have a card?
No, I don't have
Does
a card.
Does anyone here have a card?
We don't have frequent drinker cards. That's a video club card.
Ah!
Zip it there, Sporty Spice.
Are we doing this?
Oh.
Is this happening now?
Yes. Want
to
go?
Great.
Let's
love
do
to.
It.
Okay. You're hurting me! You're hurting me!
Hopefully that's not you guys. You got to lay off the coffee. That's a funny show. But here's the thing. We laugh at that. But we act like that in our car sometimes. We act like that in life. Maybe it's not as out and vivid and visual as that is, but we're that way inside. Man, we're so impatient, and we act like it's okay, and we're getting worked up, and we're accusing people, and we're wanting to start fights, and everything else. Inside, we're not letting the work of the Holy Spirit work on us. And so what happens is, you know, God says, hey, God blesses patience. He blesses it. And let me just, this is the last point here. God is patient with us. God is patient with us. You know, when I see these people go through the waters of baptism today, I think about how cool it is that they're being obedient. They're being faithful. And so this past week, I asked Wendy and Karen, and I said, if you guys don't mind, I said, pull up all the people that have made decisions in the last few months that have not followed through in believer's baptism. And it was a list of about 10 or 12 people. I know there's always, you know, reasons and excuses at times why we don't take steps of obedience. But, you know, I think about the fact that, you know, God is so patient. It's all the more reason we should be patient. But there's some things that we should be moving with. Those first steps of obedience. So there's some of you that, man, I've accepted Christ. I've received Jesus. But you haven't followed Him in believer's baptism. Are you ashamed of Him? He's patiently waiting on you to take those steps. There's people that He's put in your life that, you know what, you going public, you be willing to say, you know what, I want my faith to be real to the people around me. That God is patiently waiting on you to be the witness in their life. And some of these that were baptized today, they brought family, they brought friends who came and watched them. And I don't know where they are in their walk. Maybe they're not believers. Maybe they're not saved. But they see someone who is going, I want everybody to know Christ lives within me. And I want to go public with that. No matter how young or how old, I want people to know that Christ is King in my life. So here's the thing. Jesus went to the cross. He was patient. Think about that. We read about Jesus' birth. And it's Christmas time. We celebrate it. It's the birth of Christ. You know, we sing songs and we celebrate. But here's the thing I want you to understand. Jesus waited like 30 years before He began His ministry. Still moving forward. Still being shaped and molded by God the Father for the work that He wanted to do. And He had a ministry for about 3.5 years. And He went to the cross. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but He hung on the cross for 6 hours. And He wasn't just sitting there. But He hung on the cross for 6 hours for your sin and my sin. He hung on the cross having to pull Himself up to breathe. And eventually, if He would have continued to do that, they would have come and they would have broke His legs so He couldn't push up to be able to get breath. So for 6 hours, He hung on a cross, patiently waiting for the Father's will to be done. And so what I'm telling you is that God is patient. He's waiting on you to come home. He's waiting on you to receive Christ. He's waiting on you to trust Him. I think back to the story of the prodigal son. If you ever read that story, the prodigal son, he took his wealth and he went off, and it says he had wild living. He wasted everything. He blew everything. He's feeding a bunch of hogs and he's slopping pigs, and he says, if I were just to go home, at least my father would let me be a slave. So as he begins his journey home, the father is looking down the road, and he begins to see the silhouette of his son coming home. It says that the father threw down what he was doing and he took off and he ran and he met him and he embraced him and he kissed him. And he, you know, we know the rest of the story. He puts a robe on him and his son has got the story worked out that he's going to tell his dad. He said, listen, my son who was dead is now alive, who was lost is now found. He's home. So this father had been patiently waiting for his son to return. And maybe you're the prodigal. I'm just telling you. Your Heavenly Father is waiting for you to come home. He wants you to come home so He can bless you. And He can throw a party in celebration. Let's pray. I'm not sure what God may be speaking to you about today. But maybe it's just time to come home. I'm going to ask our counselors if they would to come to the front here, and we're just going to give a quick invitation. Give you an opportunity to respond. What is it that God is waiting on you to do? Maybe you're the prodigal. Maybe you've drifted off. Maybe you've been living wild. Not as a believer. Maybe you just never accepted Christ. There's no better time than the present. Maybe there's something you need to lay down on this altar and say, you know, God, I just want to leave it here. What is it that God is touching your heart to do? What's He calling you to do? I want to ask everybody just to stand. And you respond as the Lord leads you. Maybe you just need to come to the altar. Just lay something on the altar. Maybe you just need to come home. The altar is open. You respond as the Lord leads you. Respond. We're not in a hurry. We're not in a rush to get out of here. We want to patiently wait on what God wants to do. So wherever you're at, whatever God's dealing with you about, He never intended for you to deal with it on your own. We have each other. Waits patiently on your response. He waits patiently on your surrender. He waits patiently. Father, we thank You that You are so patient with us, so forgiving. God, I pray that if there's anybody here that maybe they've never followed You in believer's baptism, that they've given You their life, they've accepted You as Savior, but they just haven't taken that step of obedience. God, I pray that You give them the courage to do it. God, maybe there's someone here who has never put their faith in You. Maybe they got membership in church, but God, they've never had a relationship with You, which is what changes everything. God, thank You that You're so patient with us, so forgiving. God, thank You that You love us, that You care about how we treat people, care about how we think, care about how we react. So God, I just thank You for the opportunity to gather here today as the body of Christ, to hear from Your Word, and God, to see how the Holy Spirit wants to work inside of us. So God, I just pray that You'd bless this time. God, bless these who are making decisions even now. God, thank You for meeting with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated. And for many of you who, maybe the counselors, some of these counselors will be back in the VIP room back here in the back of the service. And maybe you want to stop by there. Maybe just need someone to pray with you or to pray over you. That's what that room is for. Maybe there's a decision you need to make. Maybe you've never been baptized. They can help you get that lined up. It's time to go public. Maybe just you've never accepted Christ and you still got a few questions. They can help walk you through some of those questions. And so don't miss that opportunity as well. I want to give these last couple of next steps. I know some of you guys are a little bit weird about getting your blanks filled in, so I'm going to give those just so I don't get beat up afterwards. But the next steps are pretty easy. Next steps, to look at my trials differently. Maybe we look at whatever we're going through a little bit differently this week. That's a choice. We choose to see it as the hand and the workings of God in our life. Here's another one. I ask the Holy Spirit to cultivate my heart for the greatest harvest possible. The harvest of the fruits of the Spirit. So maybe that's something we do. We say, God, I want you to cultivate my heart. I want you to change my whole mentality towards patience. Here's another. I want to receive Christ for salvation by faith, not by following the rules, not by lining up with everything that I think I should do, but by putting my faith in Christ and Christ alone and what He has done on the cross to redeem me. And then the last one is to follow Christ in believer's baptism. Maybe that is a step you need to take. Maybe it's to trust God by tithing. You know, maybe it's to say, God, I want to be a part of what God is doing here.